It is a good morning. It is a frigid morning. But as long as it's cold, we probably don't have to worry about anybody falling asleep, right? We'll see. Yeah, we'll have faith in that anyway. Oh, I'm so thankful to be here and to be able to look at God's word. And I'm feeling over-deviced here. Anyway, lesson today. The privilege. Can I say that again? The privilege of relationship with God. Oh my, it's so important. And I'll just confess right here, okay? Right here at the very beginning, I'm going to confess. I am still working on this. I have a long ways to go. Even though I've been doing it for, I don't know, 40 some years. It's been a little while, but it's still important to keep growing in relationship. All of us are experienced at relationships. Let's see. Yes, everyone here. Looking to see who the audience is. Relationships are something that you have to really work at. And it is something that is, yes, you really have to work at it. It's a give and a take. And we have learned how to deal with and be in relationship, although I'm not terribly good at doing new relationships. I am a bit shy. I am a bit introverted. Actually quite a bit introverted. And it takes a lot for me to get to know someone new. And even now, there are folks that sit here that I know you by face, but I don't know that I really have a relationship with you because I haven't taken the time to create a relationship. And God is just like that. We have to take time to have relationship with the Lord. It's not just us giving God our list or spending, you know, 5 minutes, you know, yeah, giving God our list. It's the give and the take. What kind of relationship would we have with our friends and family and spouses if we spent 5 minutes giving them a list? And that's all there was to it. 10 minutes, that's a long list. No, it's this give and take. And so this privilege that we have with God to be in relationship with Him is, it's awesome that we have this opportunity. And the lesson is going to talk about the greatness of the fact that we actually do have this opportunity because we weren't the first offer. It wasn't offered to us first. This relationship was offered to somebody else. And we're going to talk about that. So the big idea today in the lesson, I will pursue a close relationship with God. Pursue. I'm going to talk about that word just a little bit later. And the truth about God is that God desires a close relationship with people of faith. We are going to be, as if you had looked at your booklet that you have, that we are looking at Exodus chapter 19 today. So we will be looking there. And I'm going to go ahead and read the focus verses right now. said, "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations," God is talking to Israel here, "then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession." That possession that is just wrapped up in the best flannels and tucked into a very special place. That treasured possession. You don't just toss around treasured possessions. They are put up and taken care of. And they may be so precious that they're wrapped up and tucked away because they're too precious to have out in the open. But God wanted Israel to be his treasured possession, even though the whole earth is his. That's how that verse ends. Everything is his possession, but he wanted Israel to be that treasured possession. And verse 6, "You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Share this with them. But we know later in the story really what ends up happening here. And they don't desire this. They don't really want this. And maybe it comes out of fear. But sometimes it just comes from getting used to the relationship. Did you read in the beginning of the book there where it talked about mentorships? How many of us have a mentor? Maybe two, three. You could have several mentors in your life. But you cannot be an effective mentor or receive effective mentorship without working at a relationship. There's got to be give and take, and you have to be able to give and receive hard things. Because we need to have changes happen in our lives. I need a lot of changes in my life. I've got a lot of rough things in my life that God has had to take off. And I've had some mentors and some relationships that have helped kind of carve those things off. Just imagine how that feels. It's never comfortable carving those things off of our life, but that's what a mentorship is. And God wanted to take Israel under his wing and wrap his arm around them and mentor them and teach them and bring them to that place of a treasured possession. And in the text of the lesson in Exodus 19, and it's the whole chapter, but God was talking to Moses and said, "Okay, I want you to go down and I want you to prepare the people. Tell them that they have 2 days. And on the third day, I want them to come to the edge of the mountain." You can't come up on the mountain. "Come to the edge of the mountain and I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to all." And Moses is used to this relationship. He has learned to listen and hear and receive from God. And Moses and God had conversations about hard things. And Moses could look in God's eye, if you can look in God's eye, and say, "God, that's not right. You can't do that. Just think of what people are going to say." That's my paraphrase of the conversation that God had with Moses and Moses had with God about what all of the nations around were going to say when, hey, you delivered them out of that Egypt You did all of that for them and you brought them out here and then you kill them? What is Egypt going to think about you? What are the Amorites and the Moabites and all of those people going to think about you? What kind of God are you? Can you imagine God's opening his, yeah. I guess I'll have to repent about this. No, I'm not trying to be flippant about it, but this conversation, you imagine the conversation back and forth between those two. But the people of Israel had not experienced that. And so they do listen to Moses and they purify themselves and they cleanse themselves and they keep themselves from things that God said you're not supposed to do. And they met God when they heard the thunderings and the trumpet sounds and they came. Moses gathered them up and he brought them to the base of the mountain. And they're standing there and they're listening. And the mountain is on fire, and there's big plume of smoke that's going off of it. And the scripture says that it's just quaking, just like the people. They're terrified. And he wants us to be our treasured possession? What is that going to be like? Because this is what they saw of God and what they knew of God. And it doesn't say in Exodus 19, but if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, you get another glimpse of this. I really like Deuteronomy because it's kind of a rehash of the first four books there. And explanation a little bit. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, let's look at verse 22 through 27. And I know it's a bit of a reading, but I want to look at what it says here, because the people say something here that they did not say, or it's not recorded in Exodus, that makes an entire difference in that. It says, in these words the Lord spake unto all the assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire and the cloud and of the thick darkness and the great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tablets of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. So they realize that you can talk with God and live. Now therefore, why should we die? Well, you just saw that you could live. So why are you asking, why should we die? They were still afraid. They were terrified of what was happening there. For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more than we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, and we have lived? Go thou near and hear all, this is the people speaking to Moses. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak unto thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. I don't want a relationship with this God because I'm scared to death of him. But Moses, somehow you've managed to develop a relationship with God. So Moses, you just go listen to God. And you come back and you tell us and we'll do it. Did it work? It did not work. And it doesn't work today. It's not good enough. It's not a relationship. It's not a personal, privileged relationship to come and sit in the house of God and let the pastor have all of the relationship and all of the communication with God. It doesn't work that way. We need a personal relationship with God. And we are privileged to be able to receive it. And so, in this relationship, faith is required. You have to have faith for this close relationship. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please Him." Please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Earnestly. It's effort. It's a push. It is back to that word pursue. Or as Paul stated, pressing. And we'll look at that in a bit. But Israel, they had a tough time with faith. They didn't, when they came out of Egypt, they didn't know their God. They didn't know the God of their fathers. And God worked really hard on establishing a relationship with them that was to give them faith. And we can read this. Now, when we are living an experience, it's really hard to know what's going to come out of it. And we can be frustrated, we can be confused, we can be hurt, we can have a lot of emotions around circumstances. But because we're living them, we don't know what's going to happen. Now, we're reading this. And I've read this, I don't know how many times. I've read this so many times of the deliverance of the people. And the fact that they walked around in the desert for 40 years. It didn't have to be that long, but it was 40 years. And God gave them food every day. And God gave them water when they needed it. And finally, there was a rock that followed them around to give them water, as referred to in Corinthians. Their clothes lasted for 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. And God had showed them all of the things that He was able to do before they came out of Egypt. He delivered them. He parted the waters. They walked through on dry ground. And they all got through in one night. That was a pretty good path. Because they had animals. They weren't running. Goats and sheep, they mosey. Not much running going on there. They had elderly. They were just making their way through, and they all did it. And if that wasn't a miracle enough, and get your faith way up here, they watched their enemy drowned the next day. God delivered them. He protected them. He gave them food. He gave them water. He provided everything they needed. And what did they do every time life happened? They moaned and groaned and griped about it. Those are words we would use. The scripture says they were murmuring and they were stiff-necked. But they were moaning and groaning, complaining. Yeah, I get a stiff neck when I sleep wrong. But faith is trusting God no matter what's going on in our lives. No matter what. Is that easy? No, it's not. But that's what God wants from us. And in that experience, in all of those experiences, God is showing us that we can trust Him. Because we're building relationship. I love this quote. Faith is acting according to God's promises. Not permission to be lazy or negligent. In other words, having faith isn't just getting to sit there and do nothing and expect it all to work out. Not going to work that way. We have to work it. Take care of things. We are not supposed to just sit there and wait and expect God to do everything for us. That's not faith. James, what does James say? James says, faith without works is dead. In all of life's uncertainties, we need to trust God. And we can trust God how often? Always. All the time we can trust God. And how do we know that? Because we're working in relationship with Him. We don't know that if all we ever do is listen to what Pastor tells us. And we don't ever work at our own relationship with God. Pastor trusts God. Well, he must, but that doesn't help me in the middle of the night when something terrible is happening. We need our own individual relationship with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have this privilege that as Exodus and Deuteronomy say, the Israelites said, no, thank you. And then if you read in the prophets, they begged for that relationship. They desired the relationship that we have been chosen to live in. I might think I chose this. But He chose us first, Sister Esther. He chose us. He wants to choose everyone. He loves everyone, and He wants everyone to be in relationship with Him. And that's why WIN has been so important for us this year. We needed to realize and know and understand that we need to WIN in relationship, but we need to help others WIN in relationship because God wants all of us to have relationship. But this relationship was only sporadic with sporadic people. All through the Old Testament, this one would have a relationship, this one would have a relationship, that one would have a relationship, but the majority of the people didn't really. They went through the motions. They did what people told them to do, and that's all they ever did. In our world today, is full of religion like that, where people just do what they're told and they don't understand why, and they say, I don't want anything to do with this. Or they just blindly keep following, and they're empty inside. When God doesn't want them to be empty inside. God wants them to be in relationship. So that new covenant process provides a close relationship with God. What is the new covenant? The salvation that we have in Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection that Jesus Christ came with. This is, I know this is the Christmas service today for us, and we're going to really focus on the birth of Christ and why he came. But why he came was to live his life, die, and resurrect, and come back and fill us with the Holy Ghost so that we could have that connection with God, so that we could go into and participate in relationship with him. So the new covenant is much better than the old covenant. We can learn a lot from the old covenant. We've spent quite a bit of time, at least I have, when I've stood behind this podium here, talked a lot about the tabernacle and the process of the tabernacle and what the tabernacle showed us and all of the Old Testament. If Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers doesn't tell you anything about God, it will tell you, it should tell you, that God is very interested in specific details. He wants to know the little things. It's not just the big things in our life that God is interested in. He's interested in every little thing. And it needed to be done exactly right. So the old is better than the new. Hebrews 8 and 6. But in fact, the ministry Jesus had received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior of the old one. It messed it all up. Let's look that one up. I expanded the font and should have looked back at all my scriptures after I cut and paste them. Hebrews. I think it is, let's see, Hebrews 8 and 6. Does someone have that? Sure.
But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
So, this new covenant, this new relationship that we have with God is so much better than the Old Testament. They learned how to do the Old Testament thing. And they brought their sacrifices, and they were clean and they were unclean, and they jumped through all of the hoops that they needed to, but it didn't change their heart because they were constantly walking away from God and not being where they want. So the new covenant is better than the old covenant. Mount Zion is better than Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai, you got the law. Helps us to know what's right and wrong. Brings conviction in our lives when we need it. But Mount Zion, not the city of Jerusalem that exists right now. Beautiful city. Intriguing, mysterious. There's a lot of things you could say about it. But Mount Zion is the Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And that's what we get to participate in right now in relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship and we are getting connected and we are coming into relationship with the new Jerusalem, Mount Zion, that is going to come down out of heaven and rest over the Jerusalem that exists right now. And I believe we're going to see that day. We are going to see that day. All of God's people will see that day, but I believe that we're going to be transformed and not be risen. Transformed. Transformed. Zion is a heavenly place where we see the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he has us in relationship. Think about that. The God of heaven, the creator of everything, loves you enough to come sit down beside you and have a conversation. I've never actually physically seen that. But I do know somebody told me about a prayer meeting that he'd been in. He was in a prayer meeting in Louisiana. And it was in a home, and there were others there, and there was a gentleman that was there, and he had been praying, God, would you just come down here and sit down and talk to me about this? And all of a sudden, the cushion of the couch right beside him squishes in. Nothing's there. And he hears the spring squeak, and he jumps up and runs outside and runs around the house. And he comes back in, and he sits down, and he says, okay, God, let's try this again. Now what would you do if the cushion on the seat beside you compressed and there was nobody sitting there? I don't know that I would jump up and run around the house. But it would shock us. Because then there was physical evidence. We're used to feeling God's presence and interacting with what we feel and what God speaks into our hearts and speaks into our minds. And some even hear the audible voice of God. And some see angels and manifestations of God today. And those are shocking, and they bring about a reaction within us. But to physically see, what would we do? Oh my, I don't know what I would do. But God, I want to be in a relationship that can be like that. God, I want to be in a relationship where I can trust that you're sitting right beside me and we're talking about it. And we're going to work it out. God, help us to work out our relationships with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We get to enjoy the benefits of this new covenant. This covenant that should have been Israel's, and it will be Israel's again. In the end, they will finally see who their God is and who their Messiah was. Because it's not going to be Messiah still coming. It's Messiah came and we missed him. Why did we miss him? Because they were looking for something else. He didn't come like they wanted him to. They wanted to be delivered from the people that they were under bondage with. But God wanted something different. And the church that we are a part of, the church is the royal priesthood and a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Peter writes this about us. You are a chosen people. You were chosen. A royal priesthood. Who was the priesthood? Oh, you had to be of the line of Aaron. Only specific people could be priests in the old covenant. But today, when we are chosen and we receive salvation like he's offered it to us, we become priests in his kingdom. We are a royal priesthood. You don't have to be of the line of Aaron. a holy nation. This church is a nation that is holy because we choose this way of holiness. We choose to be like him because he is holy. We are holy. A holy nation, God's special possession. Isn't that what that's what Moses was telling Israel that they could have been? But we are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you where? Out of darkness. He picked us up out of the gross darkness that we were in. Some of us were in the gross darkness that we even can't stand ourselves. If we knew some of the places that God had brought us out of, we would be aghast at one another, because God picked us up out of darkness. But it was not just evening darkness. It was bad. It could have been horrible darkness that God picked us up out of and into his marvelous light. His marvelous light. Once you were not a people. Israel wasn't a people, really. God picked them out and made them a people. And he wanted this with them. But now he has picked a people out of every nation, color, race, creed. He picks a people one at a time, and he is creating his own nation, a nation of his people, his people. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. No Jew or Gentile, male or female, we're all equal with God right now in this relationship with him, this relationship he wants us to have. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy. Remember those days? But now you have received mercy. That Old Testament priesthood, it was exclusive. But we have been made priests with God. God has called us into covenant with him as a holy nation. And we can pursue. We can pursue this relationship with God. And if you'll give me just a moment. I read, this was a part of our I've told you several times that I'm a part of a Bible reading group through the My Version Bible app. And my dear friend that I used to babysit her kids when I was a teenager wrote this yesterday in the group. We were reading out of Hosea chapter 6, and she quoted and copied in verse 3. It said, reading it out of the New Living Translation, and it says this, "Oh, that we might know the Lord, let us press on to know him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains early in spring." God will respond to us when we press into him. Press on, this is her comments. Press on is a Hebrew word which means to pursue, to chase, to hunt after, or strive zealously. What this means is that if you are going to reach the goal of knowing God, it is going to take great, in caps, effort. This is almost exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 12. I press on that I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He said earlier that, in parentheses she says, he said earlier that goal was that I may know him. That I may know him. He goes on to say, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Two times here Paul says just what Hosea says here, I press on. I press on to the goal, and the goal is to know the Lord, to have a relationship. And her daughter-in-law chose one more verse in Hosea. She looked at Hosea 6 and verse 6, and it says, I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. That Old Testament covenant was offering sacrifices, but what did God really want? He wanted love. He wanted our love. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Hosea 6:6, the New Living Translation. And Tamika said, God wants our love and a relationship with us more than he wants our acts of service or our words or our works. Oh, that I may know him and truly fall in love with him. Wow. God just wants us in relationship. Romans 12 and 1 talks about that he wants us to be a living sacrifice. I know I've said this before too. A sacrifice is easy. It's over. It's done. Just a few moments and it's done. But God wants us as a living sacrifice, loving, serving, being in relationship with him. Lord Jesus, help us to be in the relationship he desires for us, because he desires more than we desire. He knows where he wants us to be. He knows what we're going to be in the future. And because he sees that, he wants us to press toward that goal that he has for us. And maybe, well, it's more than maybe, there's going to be a moment in time when we will get to be like Enoch. Think about that. We're going to get so close to God that he's going to say, all right, it's done. And make us like him. Transform us and make us like him. Lord Jesus, help us, each and every one, all those that are here today and all those that are listening, to desire this relationship, this privileged relationship that we have with you, and help us to press into a further, a closer, a more intimate relationship. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory and praise. Amen and amen.